You can't preach after that. You need to turn in your ordination certificate. Amen. Tell you what. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. What a name. What a name. Praise God. Thank you for that special tonight, Brother and Sister Merrill, Kim and Kevin. You know, hope is a wonderful word. The word hope. Webster, in his 1828, and by the way, I encourage Christians to get that 1828 dictionary. It's available on the internet, online, through local church Bible publishers. They print it. It's an excellent, excellent dictionary. Hope is defined by Webster's 1828 as a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. You know, as Christians tonight, our hope, thank God, is not in the White House. Our hope is not in Lansing. Our hope is in God. Amen. Our hope is in God. And how He has revealed that hope to us, and praise God for the hope that is revealed in His Word. You know, the Bible talks about the second coming of Jesus, and we're getting ready in the fall to preach a series of messages that we've preached before, but I believe the Lord would have us to preach a series on prophecy. Eight messages, eight prophetic messages. And the next on God's timetable, the rapture of the church, it's referred to in Titus 2:13. It tells Christians to be looking for that blessed hope. And I want to just say this, and again, I'm not trying to be contentious, but it's no blessed hope to have to go halfway through the tribulation. It's no blessed hope to have to go all the way through the tribulation. It's a blessed hope that we would be walking and serving God and watching for Him and have Him come and take us home. That's the blessed hope. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, hope is a strong word. It's a wonderful word. Do you know, one of the most terrible injustices that's ever been served on mankind happened in a little series of islands called the Philippines. Philippines. And, of course, we know what happened on December 7th, 1941, the day that'll live in infamy. Pearl Harbor was bombed by the Japanese, but literally the same day, it was only a different date because it was across the international date line, Japan bombed the Philippines. And not long after their troops marched in, and there was just some, there was 35,000 or so American troops there, and they were poorly supplied, and the Japanese were marching in. You'd almost kind of liken it to scissors, amen? They were marching in and moving the American troops, and the American troops slipped through the scissors, and they went back to a place called the Bataan Peninsula. Back to a little island called Corregidor. And they held out there as long as they can. And when they didn't have any bullets, and they didn't have any food, and they didn't have any medicine, most of all, they waved the white flag of surrender. And I'm sorry, the figure was wrong. It wasn't 35,000. I believe over 70,000 American troops. It's the largest surrender to this day of American troops. Surrendered. And they were taken on what's called the Bataan Death March, where too many things and too young of a crowd are here to be described happened. But let's just say that the Japanese wanted to thin out the population, and they did. They brought them to Camp O'Donnell there in the Philippines and to different other camps, and constantly, the Americans would put over the radio, "Don't worry, MacArthur is returning." You remember how he left. He was literally under orders from the president. He went to Australia and he said, I have gone back and I shall return. And you know, as these prisoners battled dysentery and beriberi and starvation, Brother Jim, the hope they held out was that Douglas MacArthur and the American Navy was going to come back. They literally hope kept those men alive. I want you to notice in our text something. Verse number 18 of our text. There's a phrase here I want you to catch. It says in verse 18, and we'll deal with this text, but it says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, in the temporal, as we would call it, Brother Holy, the nasty now and now that we live in, hope many times has time limits. Hope has time limits. And I want to look in the Bible, if we could tonight, at 10 things. 10 things that we must do while there is hope. We must do while there is hope. And I hope that God will arrest your attention. You say, "Well, Pastor, what do you mean hope has time limits?" Well, in the great chapter on the second coming of Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it really starts off with verse number 13. You remember the Thessalonians had been taught that Christ had already come back and he'd already taken his own, and those that were dead were dead. And the Apostle Paul said, no, that's not what happened. He's going to come back. He's going to come back in the twinkling of an eye. And he said this, that, listen, you don't need to sorrow as others which have no hope. Why? Because people had died without Christ and their day was done and hope was done. He said, you don't have to sorrow like them. You've received Christ as your Savior. Your loved ones have received Christ. You have hope. 10 things tonight that we need to do while there is hope. Go with me, a topical Bible message tonight. We'll go through the Bible. We'll start in Psalms, amen. Psalms chapter 31, and we'll work our way all the way into the New Testament here. Just move along through the Bible. While there is hope. Look at Psalms chapter 31, please. Psalm 31, in the last verse. Oh, I got to read verse 23. It says, "Oh, love the Lord, all ye His saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." You know what we have to do as Christians, number one, tonight, while there is hope? We need to show courage while there's hope. We need to show courage. I heard a quote from Billy Graham this week that I absolutely love. He was talking about courage, and he said, "What courage will do in one man is it will stiffen the spines of those around him." Courage. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about it next Sunday morning, but this world and this country is going down the tubes. And you know what God needs? He needs some courageous Christians that are just going to stand and say, "I believe that book. I believe Jesus still saves. I believe He can change lives." Now's the time to be courageous. Amen. While we're on the outside of the fence. Right. Yeah. Now's the time. Now's the time to show courage. Why? While there's hope. Show courage. And by the way, you certainly don't have to do what I just did in the office tomorrow. Amen. You can go in and be a courageous Christian. You can be somebody that those 10 minutes on your break where everybody's telling every dirty, foul joke that could be told, there you are just reading your Bible, amen, making notes, having devotions, amen, having a prayer time as you walk, passing out tracts. Hey, listen, that's courage, amen. That's courage. And listen, we need some Christians, while there's hope, that are going to show courage. It says right here, praise God for this verse. It says, "Be of good courage." It's a command. "And he shall strengthen your heart." That's what courage does. Courage not only strengthens those around you, it strengthens your own heart. God uses it. Show courage while there's hope. Go over to Psalm 42. Psalm number 42. And I want you to notice the second thing here. Psalm 42, verse 5. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Jump down to verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Jump down to chapter 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know the second thing God wants us to do while there is hope, I believe, is he not only wants us to show courage, but he wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to be encouraged. I appreciated Brother Jeff's brief Sunday school message this morning. Amen. And Brother Jeff was talking about sorceries in the Bible. Sorceries. And that Greek word in the New Testament is that word pharmakia. We get our word pharmacy from drugs. And listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You know the best cure for depression is Jesus. Jesus. You know the best cure is to be encouraged in his promises that he has given us. He's given us so much. And listen, I think sometimes we constantly walk around with the mully grubs with our lip dragging on the ground. As Curtis Hudson used to say, our lip drags so far you could throw it out the window and use it for a fire escape. Don't do that, amen? Be encouraged in God, amen? We're not hiding in a cave tonight like David was when he wrote that psalm, amen? We're not fleeing for our lives. We got a lot to be thankful for. Let's be encouraged. Be encouraged in God while there's hope. While there's hope, amen? Be encouraged. Show courage. Let me give you another one here tonight. Number three, Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And look, if you would, at verses 12 through 14. Here, David is talking to the Lord. He says, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded that and consumed that are thine adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with my reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. There's several things we could take out of this verse, but the main thought I want you to see is while there is hope, show courage, yes. While there is hope, be encouraged, yes. While there is hope, pray. 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 See, David knew firsthand, Brother Lem, about this verse. See, there was a time where David had committed a terrible sin with Bathsheba. Terrible sin. Took another man's wife and committed adultery with her. Then had her husband killed. He went from bad to worse. And for a year, he thought he had gotten away with it. But old Nathan, we talked about it this morning, old Nathan pointed his bony finger and said, "Thou art the man." And he said, David, that child's going to die. But you know what David did while there was hope? He prayed. You read 2 Samuel chapter 12. He got on his knees. He prayed. He fasted. He didn't take any nourishment, anything. And he prayed and prayed. And you know what happened? The child did die. And his servants were afraid to go in and tell him. And when they told him, he got up, he refreshed himself, he took care, he took nourishment, and they said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Well, listen, while the child was alive, I had the opportunity to pray and to fast for him, and that perhaps God would change his judgment." Listen, folks, now's the time to pray. There's no praying in heaven. There's no praying in heaven. Now's the time to pray for that lost loved one. Amen? Now's the time. Now's the time to pray for that person who has cancer. Now's the time to pray. And I know some of you are absolute prayer warriors. I know you are. Amen. Now's the time to pray. Why? While there's hope. You know, after a person dies, I remember literally praying for my dad for years and years and years and years and years for him to get saved. And he got saved on the last day of his life. And I'm glad he got, and we're going to talk about that and listen just a little bit, but while there's hope, now's the time to pray. Now, why? Because there's still hope. Because God's still God.
Amen.
Amen. And He still answers prayer. And He still wants to answer your prayers. You say, oh, that's just too big. He's never going to answer that. He specializes in the prayers that are too big. Yeah. Amen. Pray while there's hope. Be encouraged while there's hope. Show courage while there's hope. Psalm 78, just a couple pages over. Look at verses 4 through 8, Psalm 78. It's talking here about the Word of God. Verse 1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Down to verse 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Number 4 tonight. Show courage while there's hope, yes. Be encouraged while there's hope. Pray while there's hope. Can I say this to you parents tonight? Teach your children the Bible while there's hope. Teach your children the Bible. By the way, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to do that. Listen, we do it at our house right before bed. Sometimes we crawl in the bed and listen, this is just so convicting. I'm testifying tonight and I'm confessing all at the same time. I'll be downstairs doing something, just taking care of something, and all the way in the cellar, and Eric will come down and he'll say, Daddy, are we going to do the Bible tonight? Listen, Daddy's the preacher. Amen. Yes, we are going to do the Bible tonight. But I'll tell you, Brother Leonard, this is about how long we take. All of devotions takes about 10 minutes. My kids are 5 and 3. You want to go longer? Help yourself. That's about all we can keep them for. Amen? And we have our first time is we do what's called our statues game. Daddy breaks out his phone with a real quiet song, like from Dr. Zachary. Amen? Real quiet. And we get them all quieted down. And we see who wins the statue game, and they get to pick the song that we sing that night. Lukey is always the same. Ask, seek, and knock. Amen. We always sing ask. There's little as much when God is in it. Or trust and obey. And you know what we're doing? We're teaching them the Bible right there. All those wonderful songs that we sing that are full of Bible. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then when we get done with that, we tell a Bible story. You say, I don't know too much Bible. Listen, Father, Dad, tonight, if you don't know too much Bible and you would like to, I'll get you a book. I'll get you a book that'll help you. I'll get you a Bible stories book that you can read to your children. And we do that, and then we pray together. And then my favorite part is when we get all done, we take out the old-fashioned Revival Hour quartet, Brother Jeff, and they sing Amen. And I say, in Jesus' name, and they say, Amen. And then we start singing, Amen. Everybody said, Hey. And then my kids do this, and they dance on the bed and jump up and down. It's not as hard as Satan makes it to teach your kids the Bible. Right. You can do it at the dinner table. But you know what? You got to do it while there is hope. Amen, grandparents? Yep. While there's hope. See, I know this. I watched my little boy tonight graduate into kindergarten. I love that, how they graduate into kindergarten. We used to just graduate from high school, amen. That was enough. Now they graduate into kindergarten. And I know this, the time's flying by. So you know what? I need to teach them the Bible now while there's hope. And especially in this land that is getting ever hostile to the Bible. While there's hope. While there's hope, teach your children the Bible. Psalm chapter 146, over a few pages there. Psalm 146. And if you would, Psalm chapter 146, look at verse 5 with me. Goes along with one of our earlier points, but I think it bears repeating here. It says, verse 5, it says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord God." Show courage while there's hope. Be encouraged while there's hope. Pray while there's hope. Teach your children the Bible while there's hope. I tell you something else. Be happy while there's hope. Be happy. You know, I was joking with Carol Horse yesterday, and I said, you know, I don't have a lot of... And listen, I understand, I think you folks know me by now. There are times where I preach very sobering messages and very serious messages, and they are right out of the Bible and designed to get us to sober up to eternal truths. Amen? I think that's important. I really do. But, you know, we are still saved if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And the merry heart still doeth good like a medicine. The Bible says the hope of the righteous shall be his gladness in Proverbs 10:28. You know what we ought to be? We ought to be happy. We ought to be happy. We've got something to be happy about.
For sure.
Amen. I look out at people sometimes and I think, I wonder if they have ever smiled. I really do. You look at this person, and Dr. Malone used to joke with us. Pastor said it in the missions conference, you know. Dr. Malone, why don't you ever smile? He'd say, I am smiling. Amen. But you know what? You got around Dr. Malone, you saw what a happy person he was. Listen, be happy. You're saved. You'll never even sniff hell. That's something to be happy about, amen? We've got a lot to be happy about. We live in America. You, at your job, if you make $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000, are richer than 93% of the entire world. You've got a lot to be happy about. Some of you got your family all around you tonight, amen? Some of you God's given to... Listen, be happy while there's hope. Because, you know, there are days where happiness flees. There are days when grief is so overwhelming that you wonder where the happiness went. Be happy while there's hope. Be happy. Number 6 tonight, Proverbs chapter 19, our text verse. Go back there with me if you would. Not in this church, but in a lot of places, this one would stir the hornet's nest, but doesn't bother me at all. When I was a kid, there was a giant hornet's nest right across the street, and I took a big rock and threw it at it, and then I hit the dirt, amen, and watched them flying over, amen. I might as well do the same thing tonight. Verse 18 of chapter 19, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Number 6, discipline your children while there's hope. Discipline your children while there's hope. By the way, there's plenty of verses there in Proverbs. You want to look up a couple others, go with me. I'll just quote them to you. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Chapter number 22, verse number 15 says, "There a foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Proverbs 23:13 says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and thou shalt deliver him from hell." Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The reason we are in the mess we are in is because 40 years ago, people stopped disciplining their children. Thank God I had a dad that didn't. I had a dad that wasn't saved and yet believed in biblical discipline. Quickest belt in Westfield, Massachusetts. Get that thing off. And I've said it so many times, I can still see it in my mind. I'm okay. I'm fine. I mean, I'm doing okay. But I can go to see him walk over to the window and close the window. And I can't ever remember my mom doing that. I can't not ever remember mom doing that. But I can remember dad vividly. One time I put a book in my pants. Amen. And he realized that was not good. That was not good. Amen. But I remember literally my dad getting in my face when we were about the same height, which was probably when I was about 13 years old. And by the way, at 13 years old, the hope's pretty much gone in discipline. You've set the mold between 4 and 8 years old. You've really set the cement, and it's dried and hardened. They are who they are. But I remember my dad getting in my face at 13, Mr. Perry, and he looked me in the dead in the eyeball, and he said, "If you ever do drugs, I'll kill you." And I'm telling you, Brother Jim, I went, okay. I didn't know what to say. I'm telling you that's part of discipline, by the way. It's not just all correction, physical correction. Because when the drugs came my way, and listen, I was an athlete, I got to go to all the parties, all that. When the drugs came my way as a lost teenager, I remembered what my dad said. I remember him one time after he had to discipline me after I'd done something terrible, and I'm not sharing it tonight, and don't ask me, I'm not telling you, amen? Let's just put it this way, your pastor was disciplined a lot as a child, okay? It's why I can spot it in kids now, it's why God made me a good youth pastor, amen? He took me aside, and I remember that day we went fishing. I think it's the last time Dad and I went fishing together. And we were sitting there in the quiet and the stillness of the moment. And Brother Jason, you know what he said? He said, "Do you know why I did that to you? Because I don't want you to end up in prison and be a reprobate." Listen, take a poll down the street. Most of them will say, "Dad either wasn't there." Stop, son. Stop. "Dad wasn't there," or "Dad didn't give a rip." Listen, now's the time to discipline your children. Now's the time. While there is hope, discipline your children. Number 7 tonight. Go New Testament, Romans chapter 5. Oh, this one is, if that one stirred the hornet's nest, this one's really going to get me stung, amen? I could tell. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5. Be nice if the preacher knew where Romans was. Oh yeah, there it is. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Look, if you would, at verse number 3. It says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Hope. Romans chapter 5. James tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Number 7 tonight. Show courage while there's hope. Be encouraged while there's hope. Pray while there's hope. Teach your children the Bible while there's hope. Be happy while there's hope. Discipline your children while there's hope. Allow trials to forge patience while there's hope. And listen, I fully confess I'm away from the pulpit right now. That's easy preaching and hard living. Because nobody in here, and we've got great Christians in this room, nobody in here likes trials. Nobody, including yours truly. But those of us that have been through some trials, we've seen God build our faith. And we've seen God give us patience. Trials do work patience. And then later on in James it says, "Let patience have her perfect work." Allow God to let your trials forge patience in your life. Allow those trials to forge patience. Listen, I know That's not an easy point. I, of course, was joking about that earlier, but I mean that with all my heart. You got to make that conscious decision to say, "God, I really don't know what you're doing in this situation, but I'm going to do my best to try to accept it and to try to learn from it and to try to let it grow into my life and to try to have more patience." Because it says there in Romans 5 that it says, "In patience experience and experience hope. And then it says this, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's that end result of patience, that God sheds forth His love in our hearts. And what a wonderful thing that is. Amen. To have the love of God in our hearts. Number 8 tonight, Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians. So you got Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, in verse number 20. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Number 8 tonight, be bold for Christ while there's hope. Be bold for Christ. You know, when somebody asks you how you doing today, bold for Christ, you can say, praise the Lord. Yeah. Boy, God's sure been good to me. I like Brother Becker's classic responses. Better than I deserve. Amen. I like that. Be bold for Christ. You know, you can inject Christ into a conversation. Sure. Yep. Now, while there's hope. You know that coworker? Listen, he or she has an appointed day that they're going to go home and meet their Maker. So be bold while there's hope. I think about that so much. We live in this temporal, and all around us is the eternal. Now's the time to be bold for Christ. Listen, after that loved one dies, there is no hope. They've made their choice. Why not be bold now? I can remember different points in my life where God blessed me with boldness. God gave you a holy boldness. Pray and ask God to fill you with the Spirit and say, God, help me to be bold while there's hope. Remember that time in the book of Acts in chapter 4 where they had prayed and the place was shaken together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what happened, Brother Jim? They spake the Word of God with boldness. Listen, boldness is not just the pulpit. Boldness is at the grocery store. Boldness is on the job. Boldness is putting those gospel tracts in your bills. Amen. Be bold for Christ. Be bold. Someone asks you, what's different about you? Say, Jesus Christ. Be bold for Christ. While there's hope, be bold for Christ. Exercise patience. Discipline your children. Teach your children the Bible. Pray. Be encouraged. Show courage. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Got Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians. We quoted this earlier, but I want you to see it. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. And then he goes on to say, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You know what I would say, number 9 tonight? And I know this is a Sunday night crowd, and I probably don't have to dwell long here, but you need to trust Christ as Savior while there's hope. See, if you've been delaying, you've been trusting in those baptismal waters, you've been trusting in your good life, you've been trusting in your good works, you've been trusting in your giving, listen to me and listen well. You need to trust Christ while there is hope. Because the second you die, the second your spirit leaves your body, your choice is made. And you either are going to spend eternity in heaven with God if you've trusted Him, or you're going to spend a temporary period in a place called hell, which is a storage tank for the damned. And then Jesus is going to call all those out of hell in Revelation chapter 20. And they're going to stand before him. And they're going to give an account for all their works. They're going to give an account for all their deeds. But they're really going to give an account for one thing. They didn't trust Christ to forgive them of their sins. And your baptism won't be good enough then. And the fact that you were a member of Loomis Park Baptist Church won't do you a bit of good then. Now listen, I think everybody that's in the age of grace that we live in, I think everybody ought to be part of a church. I think I'm for joining a church. Amen. I'm the pastor of a church. But it's not going to do you any good if you don't trust Christ as your Savior. Because you know what? I'm an independent Baptist, like Curtis Hudson used to say. I love Brother Hudson. He said, I'm Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I like that. But you know what? Baptists die and go to hell. Lutherans die and go to hell. Catholics die and go to hell. Atheists die and go to hell. Muslims die and go to hell. There's only one kind of people in heaven, Christians. Those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. So I tell you tonight, don't live under a false profession. Trust Christ while there's hope. Amen. Lastly tonight, number 10. 1 John chapter 3, almost to the back of your Bible there. 1 John chapter 3. And I'll begin reading in verse 1. Read down through verse number 3. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." By the way, you ought to chew on that for a little while. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved," and you ought to circle this next word, "now are we the sons of God." You're not going to be the sons of God one day. You are right now if you're saved, child of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Lastly tonight, while there is hope, live as though he could come at any moment. Live as though he could come at any moment. You know what, folks? One day, and I know some of you said, "Oh, I've heard preachers say that all my life." I think we have dear ladies in our church. I think this week Ada May turns 89 years old. Miss Madge is 89 years old. Miss May Jean is 89 years old. Mrs. Kidd is 89 years old. I'm sharing ages of women. What's wrong with me tonight? Amen. Listen, you've heard about the second coming of Christ all those years. All those years. I know this, if you live as though he could come today, you'll never be sorry. Because one of these days, he is going to come. And you'll not be, the Bible says, every man that hath this hope in him, what's the hope? That Jesus could come at any moment, purifieth himself. Even at, you know why? Listen, I'll just share. We were going to have the hearths over today, Mark and Andrea, and my poor wife got sick this morning, so they couldn't come over. But she was, you know what she was doing yesterday? She was vacuuming the floor, amen? I had my feet up, amen? She was cleaning the house because we had special guests coming over to our church, to our house. You know what God wants? If Jesus were to come to your spiritual house today, you sure would want it to be clean. Amen. You sure would want it to be right. You sure wouldn't want any unconfessed sin in there. And that's why it says, every man that hath this hope, the hope that Jesus could come at any moment, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Hey, folks, let's live as though Jesus could come any moment while there's hope. While there's hope, you don't want to meet him and have to hang your head. By the way, praise God, we can have our sins cleansed and forgiven, have a clean slate with them anytime. Amen. The blood flows from Calvary. Amen. Oh, there's so many other things I could say tonight. Serve Christ while there's hope. It's not part of the points, but love people while there's hope. Love people while you have them. Amen. Reconcile. Forgive people while there's hope. Be a giver while there's hope. Lester Olof used to say, do your giving while you're living so you'll know where it's going. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, while there's hope, show courage. While there's hope, be encouraged. While there's hope, pray. While there's hope, teach your children the Bible. While there's hope, be happy. While there's hope, discipline your children. While there's hope, allow trials to form patience. While there's hope, be bold for Christ. While there's hope, trust Christ as Savior. And while there's hope, live as though He could come at any moment. While there's hope. Father, we love You.